CLS is go for main engine start.
Go at throttle up. Negative return. And we see a nominal Miko. Welcome to space.
This is very legit, Jake. This is like a real operation.
So did you know that in the Atlantis exhibit in Florida, they play that sound clip, like the whole one, not the part where I cut out Endeavor, but the whole sound clip is in like that intro to
just
go see the
voice,
shuttle.
To be clear.
Yeah, just, right? Yeah, okay. Not our theme song. No, they haven't got a hold of that one yet.
That would be awesome, though.
No, but I recognize it. Like, Endeavor Houston welcomes. I was like, those guys. Probably
you mean the one
first,
that you stole it from?
I didn't.
It's not like they just happened upon that clip as well. They posted it somewhere.
How you doing? Haven't seen you
good.
In a while.
I know. It's like we have finally saw each other in real life.
Yeah, that makes this weird.
It's been a hell
now,
of
right?
a week. Hell of a week.
It has
Jake.
Been a week. Yeah.
I'm drinking the last of my Super Bowl beer.
Oh,
to
nice.
Exemplify how epic of a week this has been.
Have you slept since Sunday yet? I'm not sure if you
have slept after the Falcon Heavy weekend. Super Bowl happened on Sunday. Drank a bunch of beer, won the Super Bowl, went out, partied with the worst of Philadelphians, slept 3 hours, got on a plane, and some rando Canadian picked me up in a rental car in the Orlando airport. And thus began the whole few days whirlwind that we are about to discuss.
Yeah.
And then I came back and then there was a parade instantly. I'm sure at some point we will talk about like expecting Falcon Heavy to slip like or scrub the day, and then I was worried about my flights because of the parade and all that crap, but we're good now. We're back, we're home. And you had like a longer trip.
Yeah, I had a pretty long flight home, so because I connected through Phoenix and it was like 4 hours, and I think in my head I was hoping it would be like, oh, it'll be, you know, half hour to get off, and then it's gonna be like in a different terminal and I'll have to like get my bag and go through security again. And it was like I literally got off the plane and the gate was right next to it, so I like stepped off the walkway and it's like, now I literally have exactly 4 hours to kill. So yeah, I did a lot of Twitter and drank some beer so that I would fall asleep on the other flight, and then yeah, but it was a long.
4
day.
Hours is like the point at which I start to consider whether I should exit the airport.
It was close, and it was nice yeah. outside because it was Phoenix.
Yeah. Yeah. You probably made the right call, though.
Probably, yeah. Although I do have like that Nexus thing now, and so I can go through security a lot faster. So maybe I'll think about it better next time. I'm not used to it yet.
How long does that last? This is great podcast material, but...
It's like a 5-year thing you got to reapply
cool. okay.
for. But,
all right, good.
Yeah.
Yeah, Kurt brings up... Oh, by the way, we're doing this live. To the Discord.
We're doing this live.
That's why yes. we were so talking about how legit this is at the beginning.
So legit. So this is for we kind of decided this a couple hours ago, try it out, although we've talked about it before. We've got all of our $5 plus patrons in our Discord joining us kind of live today, and which is really fun. And we'll see what kind of weird dynamic that throws at us. It'll be kind of interesting to see how it goes.
Yeah, so Kurt wants to know what we're drinking, though.
Oh, yeah. We should probably do the real podcast and stop talking about
I
want to
talk about what we're drinking now and also some honorary mentions from Falcon Heavy Week as well.
Oh, good call. Okay, do you want to start?
Sure, I intro'd it a little while ago. This is the last of the beer that I had bought for the Super Bowl. We had people over for it. This is a victory beer. You may have had one of these in Florida because I did bring one of these down, though I may have drank it. It's called Golden Monkey.
Golden Monkey.
Belgian style triple. It is a hefty 9.5%.
Uh-oh.
Has that worked good last time?
This is going to get really legit.
I have two of them with me.
Oh, no.
But it's pretty tasty. I don't know. It sounds like Kurt may have had one or two before because he said they sneak up on you, which is correct. So,
which is true of any beer that is 9.5%.
Yeah. I think that's the reason that these are the ones left from the Super Bowl, is that nobody wanted to be totally hammered for the end of the game. But yeah, it's an old trusty. That's what I got.
So I have a special beer brought to me courtesy of our very own Space Pat, who is one of our supporters. And I think he's listening along here. So we did a bit of a beer swap when we met down there because he was able to come down as well. And this is it's a Baltimore beer. And then I'll hope I'm saying it right, Duclaw Brewing Company.
Because he's going to be able to correct your pronunciation through chat.
I'm hoping you can.
Oh, I can't. I can't help you at all. That's beyond my
jurisdiction. That's close enough to you, isn't it?
That's outside my jurisdiction.
The Northeast is all one giant city for me, so. Duclaw. Okay, so it's the Enjoy Your Time Away India Pale Ale. It is only 6.3%. But yeah, we're going to give it a shot here.
Very commanding can opening.
I've already spilled beer on my keyboard. This is going well so far. Okay, poured. Wow. It's foamy.
That was a courageous pour right there.
this beer is made kind of like the journey. It's like four corners of North America because it came from Baltimore down to Florida. And then it connected through Phoenix up to Vancouver. So it's like, it's seen like both
That's
coasts and
awesome.
Both borders. It's kind of interesting.
I'm sure it tastes a little different after the pressure changes.
Tastes pretty good.
Honorary mention from Florida.
Yeah. I want to talk about it because I had some weird ones.
You brought one from that House Sound Brewery. What was it called? It's like Jupiter Mango. Super Jupiter Mango.
Jupiter. Okay, and I'll look it up.
Really tasty. I don't even like mangoes, mango flavored things. Worth a try.
Good. I'm glad you liked it.
Resounding worth like a try. Yeah, I liked it.
Yeah. I didn't even. I've never tried it. I don't think I would normally try a mango beer, but I had a picture of a planet on it, and I saw it like 4 days before I left, so I figured it was a good call to bring and share.
That's all I got. Did you have an honorary mention?
Yeah, honorary mention. So, I want to talk about one that I had at a local place in Florida. And it was the last day. It was after you left. So, again, I'm giving Pat a ton of shout out here. But Pat and I had a drink after the visit to Atlantis. And this brewery, we went back to the place that you and I had been a couple nights earlier with Brendan. And they had a beer. I didn't see it the first night, but they had a beer that was like, it looks like if you went to the grocery store at the end of the night and picked up every random leftover vegetable and fruit that there was and then made a beer out of it. It was like, I'm not even joking. I'm not making this up. There was poblano chilies in it.
What?
Jalapenos. There was strawberries, pineapple, and one more, I think. Well, it was so weird. Like I have to try it. This is such a weird thing that if I don't try it, I won't be able to tell a good story. So the jalapeno overpowered everything in it. I think I could detect a little bit of strawberry, but otherwise it was just like a spicy beer. So that was an interesting one. And that was from the Playa Linda Brewery that we went to. So shout out to Florida beers for being weird.
That is weird sounding. I don't know how I feel about that.
This is so handy because now the Discord people are looking up the beers we can't remember.
Yeah, this is great. Would recommend.
Super Jupiter Mango. Yeah. Cool.
So our plan here is to talk about Falcon Heavy, but we do these other podcasts where we're all serious and stuff. So the plan is to talk about the trip that we had, some experience about being there at the launch, tell some stories from the week, that sort of thing. This was your first launch, so this was like a big space nerd moment.
It was a big moment for me, yeah. And I kind of set the bar pretty high, like everyone was reminding me. Because it was, I decided to pick for my first launch the most powerful operational rocket from the closest place you can legally watch it from. So I don't know if I can come back from this until they launch a BFR or SLS from that very same spot. I don't think I'll be able to come back from this.
I don't know though, because that's like everybody who had seen their first launch in the last like 30 years probably saw a shuttle launch as their first one.
That's
right?
True. Yeah.
So like the norm was like the first launch I ever saw was a midnight shuttle launch. I wasn't as close as we were for this, but like feel like that is a standard thing. So I'm not too mad about that. But do we want to start with like the launch itself, or what do you say?
Yeah, we can walk through. You want to walk through like getting there and stuff, like getting to the site, because that was pretty different.
Well, yeah, we had different experiences getting to the site. So go ahead, tell us about.
Tell yours. Yours is simpler. So you start with yours.
Of how I got to the launch site?
Yeah, you got to just drive there like a human.
Oh yeah,
right?
I got to there just drive there like a honorary trustworthy American who's allowed to go wherever I may please because I've already paid for this land. So Brendan Byrne, our friend from down in Orlando, WFME, is that right?
MFE. I always MFE. Remember because it's like you know, MFer.
MFer, I got it. he picked me up and we cruised on right through those gates there. Right over the bridge, okay. Right into Tennessee. Check,
what did they check? Like, what credentials did they check when you crossed?
Oh, just the SpaceX one. I don't even know if they actually looked at my side of the car.
Oh my god!
But I may have been like, it may have been okay because I was with somebody who's been there before.
Maybe so did Brendan know the gatekeeper?
No, he had no idea who it was. But he was driving like he did.
Oh, okay. I almost wish I had just gone with you and just hidden my marker.
Yeah, I think it would have actually been okay. Okay, so tell us about your experience tramping around this launch site.
So as many listeners are aware, I am, in fact, not an American citizen. I am a Canadian citizen. I flew from Canada. I don't have an American passport, and I don't have a green card. So I fall into a category that is lovingly referred to as foreign national. And so I had to go, the reason I went early down to Florida was because I had to do this extra step. So I had to go to, there's like a badging office at Kennedy Space Center. It's kind of in between the visitor complex and the gate. And I went there early because everyone's like, the lines are huge. You got to go get this thing. So I had to wait about 45 minutes there. And they just like, it was really dumb. They just like, stamped a thing, took a picture, and I was out in like 3 seconds after I went up to the counter. It was just the waiting in line that was the hard part. But I got this little green badge that had my ugly mug on it and then said, you know, foreign national media on it.
News
and
media.
I was like, okay, that's fine. Yeah, I felt like that was okay. But then when we got our schedules, you and I noticed they were different. And so yours was like, go anytime after 9. And mine was like, meet at this place. There will be a bus leaving at this time sharp. So we had to split up and I went to this bus. And there were like 11 of us altogether, 11 foreign national media, which I thought was actually kind of small. I expected a little bit more. But I don't know. I don't really have any perspective on that kind of thing. So there was me. There was like, I think 2 or 3 other Canadians, some Japanese media, and a few people from Europe as well.
Like, let me get German, on this bus. German media, right?
Yeah, there was some German media. And I think Swiss and French too. So we get on this bus and we cross over and we get to the press site. And first they kind of like gather us outside. There's all these like SpaceX hired their own security for this.
Goons.
And yeah, their goons is a great way to put it. I think it's because I'm trying to think through why this happened this way, but like, this isn't a NASA launch, but they were using all the NASA facilities, right? So I feel like SpaceX had to like kind of shoulder a lot of everything, which is why they had their own private security there. So goons with SpaceX on their shirt. And they made us take all of our bags off and lay them out in a line. And then they brought German shepherds to go up and down and smell them for, I don't know, I guess explosives would probably be what they were looking for.
Yeah, I can't imagine to be smuggling drugs through a spaceport. I don't know.
Gonna go to the press site and hook up with all these
sell
Americans.
Sell 1,000 kilos of cocaine or something.
So
it'd be a pretty long
water...
day out there. You don't know what kind of pick me up these people need.
But there were some people that were like, "We have to use the bathroom right now," and they're like, "Okay, we have to take your bags." And they're like, "We can't wait." And I was like, "Okay." So this is when I find out that I'm not allowed to walk anywhere without an escort. So the guards were kind of weird about it. I got the impression that something had changed, and this was like a new way they were doing it, and they weren't used to it, so they didn't quite have a feel for how it was going to work. And I don't know if that's because, like, you know, there's actually a procedure change and it's like this going forward, or if it's just because it was Falcon Heavy and it was super, super busy, they were putting extra precautions in. But you know, they're like, you can't leave our site. And I was like, okay, well, that's kind of a bummer. I don't know how I'm going to work for that. So we all had to go to the bathroom with this person. And then, so I think that's when you saw me.
Okay. So I was just going to chime in here. So granted, none of this stuff that's going on, I have not heard from Jake in what feels like hours. I think it must've been hours. It was at least 2 hours. And the first time I see him is he's walking single file through the front of the press room where I've just been like hanging out, milling around, trying not to take up desks for people that have actual work to do. And I see him like a sad dog being taken outside when it's raining, walk single file through the front of the media room, past all of the fun people he would like to say hi to. And I like went over to him and he was like, I don't know if I can talk to you yet. Like, please leave because I don't want to get kicked out yet. So I went to the back of the room and watch him walk all the way across and then just stand outside the bathroom for 5 minutes doing nothing. And then you left immediately. Yeah. You turned around and you went back and you waved to the back of the room to Brendan and I. So you were like, see you later.
Yeah. Yeah. So I had to
back. It was like a preschool class, Pat says, where you have to like line up and you have to all like hold your hands on your hips and be very quiet in the hallway.
Yeah. Yeah, that's how it worked. And then we went back
and then
to get
full
our bags.
Lord of the Flies happened after this.
So we got back to our bags and everyone was allowed to pick up their bags. And then we turned around and single filed back to the press site again. And then it was weird. So like we went up those little steps and you're kind of like outside. So to the left is like the big field where the countdown clock is. You can see the launch pad. And then the right is the press building. There's kind of these other buildings in the way. And the guards just stop and everyone's kind of looking at each other. And we're kind of like waiting for like, okay, what happens now? And they're like, okay. And I was like, so can I go to work now? Like, I want to go and, you know, I want to go in that building. They're like, okay, well, we'll see if there's anyone else that wants to go into that building. And then we'll like, and they had two guards now.
And there's a limit of five people. You could go anywhere as long as there was a group of five or less.
Well, yeah, the ratio of like, of foreign nationals to guards had to be no more than 5 to 1. So if there were six of us, there had to be a second guard in that group. It was really weird. And so I kind of lost on the lady there. I was like, so like, are we just going to stand here in the sun for 3 hours? Cause it was like, you know, it was like 10 o'clock at that point. Right. I'm like, or can we work? She's like, well, as long as I can see you. And I was like, well, that doesn't really work. And so we finally agree to like split into two groups and someone goes inside and someone goes out in the lawn. And I think that's when you joined up with me again. You came back outside. We went out to the lawn to do pictures. And so the lady was like, well, I'll just stand here. And as long as you stay within sight of me, and we just scattered. So that, like, we went one way and the French guy went the other way. And I lost track of the Japanese media. And I was like, you know what? I don't care. They'll come chase us down if I'm really.
I remember because we were walking out into the lawn and you were like, man, they don't know where anyone is anymore. They must be freaking out.
It was silly. I don't know.
So that's how we arrived.
It was
there.
Kind of a. Yeah, it was kind of a bizarre experience. I don't really know what to think of it yet. I'm still processing it. Yeah, hold. Wayward foreign nationals.
Yeah, in the range. So I don't know how interesting any of the middle period is of just like hanging around, milling about. Meeting people was awesome. We got to meet so many of the people that we talk with online all the time. And, you know, it's just a good time to like, I mean, I met you for the first time in real life and so many other people that we feel like we spend so much time interacting with. So
yeah,
that's a highlight. Like even if something happened and the launch was pushed a week and everyone had to go home, it still would be pretty amazing. All right. George's got a question for us specifically. I'm curious on what the atmosphere was like when it would get close and then it would get delayed.
It's a great question.
This happened like six times.
Cause it happens in answer. Yeah. Yeah, I thought that was really an interesting observation. Like, while everyone else was kind of, you know, they were being like professional reporters, and we were in the back in the independent podcaster section.
check the link for the show notes.
Yeah, check the link for the show notes. I thought it was funny to sort of watch the energy in the room because it was, you know, it started off with high energy, right? Everyone's so excited, but then those first couple delays came in where they're like, oh, winds are no good. So then I was like, what is it, 2 o'clock? And then I think 2:20. And then it started to push a little bit more. And then it like deflated. Like it was just like, bleh.
Yeah, the period of time when there was no launch time chosen, there was just like, so here's what would happen. There was a countdown clock at the front of the room and everyone would keep an eye on it. And then all of a sudden you would notice the time doesn't add up to the time that they said before. Something must be up. And then we would hear, okay, delayed till whatever. And then there was one time when the clock just stopped and then turned off and then went back to a random number and just sat there. And that's when everyone started writing their scrub stories. Like everyone that had real work to do was sitting there hammering away Falcon Heavy scrub for the day, coming back tomorrow, and just like stressed out. They're changing flights, they're booking rooms, they're doing this, they're doing that. And we're just kind of hanging out in the back, hoping that it gets off on time. So we felt a little bit like, at least I did, felt a little like I was, I don't know, part of it, but like super not part of it. I don't know
there
if that was good
a
or
clear
not.
A clear definition between professionals and us.
But, you know, I think that was the main gist, is like you would notice everyone get stressed out and start writing a different story, or like the narrative would change. And that was the most noticeable, because there would just be this like wave of, you know, emotion about, oh crap, here we go. And then there was that one moment when, so when you're at a launch, you get this like phone number to dial into, you can hear the actual launch loop. And there was a moment when they started, they were maybe 20 or 30 minutes out from fuel loading. And we heard the first weather report where they said there are no constraints for launch, which everyone then looking around, does that mean no constraints, like there's no constraints anymore? Or what does that mean? You know, is there an asterisk with that? And that's when the room started to turn again. Everyone started realizing, seems like it's going to happen this time around. And from there on up, it was like a rising tide of good feelings.
Yeah. Yeah. That was the fun part, I think, is as soon as that happened, and then like they had kind of announced that 3:45 and the clock started ticking again, like everything started to happen all of a sudden.
Yep.
And people were running back into the room. They all like closed their scrub stories and back to Twitter. I thought it was really funny how much Twitter was happening there. Like I was looking across, like we were in the back, right? So you could see all the laptop screens. And it was just like Twitter everywhere you looked.
The same 10 feeds.
Yeah, exactly. The same 10 feeds. And it was fun watching, like, you know, Chris G was doing this where he would like, he'd had the media kit that had the, you know, the milestones. So it was like fuel loading will begin at T minus whatever. And he watched the clock and he'd write the tweet, fuel loading has begun. And then he would hold his finger up. And then just as the clock hit the right second, he'd hit the tweet button. And so I was like, okay, he is very hyperactive.
And at that point, then Jake started doing the same thing.
Yeah, it's like the only time in my life that I'm going to be able to beat Chris G. although I shot up, maybe pre-announced it 1 second too early, so I could have bit myself. But
so then when it started clicking down to like double digit, like here, you know, T minus 56, I feel like that's when it started. Everyone started making their plans for where are we going to go watch this thing? What are we going to do? You know, where do you feel like going to hang out? And so we chose to go out to the lawn. So there's this lawn that has a countdown clock. You've probably seen photos of before. We decided we're going to go out there and go as far as possible just to get like a nice shot with the water in it and all this, which was maybe ill-advised because we went beyond the countdown clock, so we couldn't see the count and we couldn't really hear this. We could hear the stream, except for at launch time, there was this helicopter that hovered directly over, it felt like directly over the press site. So it made everything hard to hear. But that is where we chose. How do you feel what we did on our launch location choice?
I was pretty happy with it, although I kind of wish I had brought my swimsuit so we could have gone further. But
alligators, Jake, alligators.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I forgot. Alligators. I saw alligators, by the way, and I think it's totally weird that people just live with alligators, like just hanging around. Like they were just like hanging around by the road. There was people walking around at lunchtime, just like, no big deal. That's an alligator. Like, anyway. I mean, I guess I live where there's bears, but still.
Everyone's got their own hazards.
Yeah. No, I thought it was a good sight. I mean, it was kind of, I thought it would be way more crowded at the front. Like in my brain, I was thinking that would be where everyone was going to go. I was really surprised that they all kind of hung back at the further line. So there was like the bleachers that were there and they were not full.
Yeah. The only person on it was the big goon that followed us out all the way to the edge of the yard.
Yeah. My baby.
I forget who brought that up to us, but when we were standing down at the end, somebody came over to Jake and said, hey, your guy's following you. He's sitting in the bleachers back there. And we turned around right in the middle of the bleachers, dude with the SpaceX hat watching Jake, that untrustworthy Canadian about to ship some cocaine out the banana river there.
I thought I had gotten away. I thought it was one of those times where like we'd all gone on the lawn again and I had some freedom. And then, yeah, he was just like skulking in the shadows of the bleachers.
Nope.
But yeah, no, I thought this spot was good. There were some nice people we got to meet right at the front there. I mean, that, you know, the our SpaceX guy hung out with us for a bit, and Brendan came out, and there were some other people just chilling out in lawn chairs. I don't even know what they were.
They got like NASA employee passes or something, and they were just hanging out.
Something.
It was pretty fun.
Yeah.
So, moment of launch. I want to know what that was like again from the first time experience. It was pretty surreal in general.
Yeah. We were really close, right? I mean, what is it? 3 miles, they said, right?
3 point something, yeah. 3.5 or something.
Yeah. So let's call it whatever. I don't know, 5 kilometers. And that's still far enough for the sound delay to be so noticeable, right? So we didn't have the count, and we were like, you know, we knew it was close, but we're like, is it 10? Is it 15? Is it 3? Where, how close are we? And I'm also, because it's a new rocket, like I wasn't used to when ignition starts. And I think heavy ignition started significantly earlier.
Yeah, than it's like Falcon 9, T-minus right? 5 or 6.
Yeah, it felt like shuttle-like. A shuttle. Like it was, yeah, totally. Yeah, yeah. Maybe it had twang too because of the asynchronous engine ignition. Who knows? But so like the smoke starts coming out, and it, to me, like my memory is that the smoke was really, really clear. Like the day was clear, and just I could see the texture on the exhaust clouds really, really well. And that's for some reason stands out in my brain. And then because there was that long ignition period, the sound really kind of ramped up, right? So it's like it slowly started to come in as ignition, but then once the hold down clamps released, it really started to billow over it. And yeah, there's no way to describe that sound, right? We all recorded it, but even when I go back and listen to it, it's not the same. So
yeah, it's the thing about launches that they are like an experience for every sense. You know, you've got crazy sights, and then, you know, right after liftoff, you're looking at the brightest thing you've ever seen in your life. Like, it is shocking. I'm sure this was something that you noticed, that how bright rocket engines are in broad daylight. Like, it hurts to look at. And then you can't look away. It's this kind of weird thing.
No.
And then you get the ground rumbling, you get the sound, you feel it in your chest. You're out in like a beautiful nature preserve because launch sites are always far away and beautiful. So it's this like completely overwhelming moment when you've just got all these things working together. And then I always find that I go into like this weird state of nirvana for like 5 seconds of just watching this thing lift off. And then I realize like, oh, you got to start paying attention, dude, because this is only happening one time. Like, you got to pick up on some details here. I always feel like that's what happens to me, is I'm just like, completely, as my grandma would say, stunned for a couple of seconds before it, like, I snap back to reality and realize what is going on in front of me.
What word did you just say right
stunned.
Now? Stunned.
Yeah. You know, you're like out of it. Somebody in the Discord, please. I have an Italian grandmother that has said that to you once. Yes, Kurt knows what we're talking about.
I do not know that word.
Just file it under John.
John.
Yeah.
Okay.
That is when I shared my binoculars, as George points out. So I shot a video of the launch, and I also put a GoPro facing Jake and I and friends. And just, I put these together, put it up on YouTube. There's a link in the show notes. And you can watch our reactions to the entire launch to landing cycle. So there's the moment at ignition when Jake loses his mind for a second, or his brain short circuits, and I just grab Jake's arm. Like, I cannot actually believe that this is happening. Which neither of us remembered happened.
I think it's so funny because it's just like when your mom is driving with a kid in the car, and she has to slam on the brakes. And so for some reason, she decides that the best use of her right arm is to reach over and make sure her kid's safe in the seat. That's what it felt like. You're just like, oh, I have to
check
just
on Jake.
Just completely subconscious. Check on Jake just in case he's not okay.
Please don't pass out.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, it was a good, it was a really cool experience. And I liked how the sound like really sustained for quite a while. Like, the volume dropped, but it sustained for so long that after a while, it's almost like you couldn't see it anymore. Like, you couldn't hear it anymore, but you could feel it still. It was just like this background rumble. It was really bizarre.
That was very different than other launches that I've been to. And I'm not sure if that was a factor of what the atmosphere was like that day, the trajectory that seemed very lofted compared to something that was going you know, really downrange really quick. Could have been the helicopter that I mentioned that was above us that was like adding to it a little bit.
It could be.
But it did. Everyone always asks, like, how does this compare to shuttle or whatever else? The best comparison I have is Delta IV Heavy, because I was about the same distance away for Orion. And that one felt like the same noise for the minute and a half that you could hear it. It was just this like deep, massive rumble. Falcon Heavy seemed to have like so many different phases of sounds. Like there was a liftoff noise or the ignition noise, and then there was this liftoff sound, and then about a minute into flight, it changed to this like really phased sound. It was like wow, 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 and it felt like it was reverberating really strangely. There seemed to be so many different types of sounds in the launch that I was kind of amazed. And I've heard people say that it reminded them a lot of a shuttle launch. I'm not sure I would agree, because solid boosters sound so different and they have such a different ignition noise. And it feels more like deep rumbling your chest than liquid engines do. And obviously shuttle was a lot more raw, like thrust numbers. Not sure how much that matters, quite honestly, but there's differences that are interesting. And Falcon Heavy, you're right, had this like much more sustained noise to it throughout the whole trajectory, landing included.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because I felt like, you know, it's 8 minutes or so to landing from launch, and there was just a narrow window in the middle there where like it wasn't quite anything. It felt like by the time the actual launch had faded away, we were starting to hear the landing and reentry burns and stuff, right?
Totally.
Yeah.
It's just totally overwhelming. Like there's so many things going on, specifically with Falcon Heavy, where it feels like, I don't know, you don't immediately, after you don't see the rocket anymore, you don't immediately run back to watch the upper stage burn or anything like that. You know, there's all these other things that are happening, and it's like totally nuts to be there for, because you're on the lookout for entry burns and stuff like that. And we picked up the entry burns pretty quickly. You could see these two things really tight right next to each other, you know, way up there. It was kind of, that was pretty mind-blowing to watch.
Yeah, we couldn't see the boost back burn, but it was, the reentry burn was really high up. We saw that. Two, like, they were really fine points of light, and they were off to the right because they go further downrange, and that was pretty interesting to me. And you don't really hear those ones, that the reentry burn, that's not the one you necessarily hear, because you kind of have to wait for the sonic boom for it to be really, you know, useful.
Yeah,
but
huge.
Yeah. And then, yeah, we saw that, we waited, and then we just caught the landing burns. So we had like a tree line to the right. There was kind of a gap in the tree. So if you watch the video, we all like rushed to the side, and we look just in like one crack, because there was this one little narrow angle of branches we could look through and see them.
It was also, I was particularly good at it with all my years of going to concerts as a 5'4" human, 5'5" human, is that I'm very good at finding tiny patches of views between places.
That's a useful skill I didn't know had to exist.
Yeah, you didn't know about that. But.
So we could see the, Kurt's saying we have a height for Anthony now. I think they were all debating before whether you'd broke 5 feet or not, I think.
Just barely.
So we could see the landing burn, and then it kind of faded behind the tree line. So we didn't see. Did you see legs? I didn't see legs.
I don't know. I was overwhelmed. I saw them pretty. I saw them pretty far down to the ground. The gap in the trees that I had like binoculars up looking through the trees, so I could see them pretty low. I don't remember if I saw legs or not. Because then I also was starting to wait for the sonic boom, which was crazy this time around. And I've heard other people, this was my first Falcon landing, so I don't know how to compare to others, but a couple people told me this particular part was a little different. These six sonic booms, you could hear them shake the metal on the VAB. I don't know if you picked up this part, but when they happened, you didn't just hear it like echo off the VAB. It sounded like the metal that was covering the building totally shook in place. Which I don't know if that was just maybe the, you know, difference in time that the sonic booms arrived or what.
So I didn't hear that live, but yesterday I listened to the Smarter Every Day channel did that binaural recording. So they had that, he gave the mics to Trevor Mallman, that photographer who went on top of the VIB. and you recorded it, and you could very clearly hear that echo. So it actually sounded like 10 sonic booms up there, because the first two big ones actually bounced off the VAB. So it was like da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. It was really neat. So yeah, that's something really special. And I was surprised at how long it took. Like, it was like they disappeared, and then we could hear the cheer on the overhead from, you know, from Hawthorne. Hawthorne knew about it before we did. And then it was like a cheer, and then I was like, okay, I'm ready, like my body is ready for sonic booms. I was like holding my arms up like, take me to heaven, right? And then yeah, it still was very, 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 very cool to hear.
So one of my favorite post-launch bliss moments, after they landed, everything made it to orbit, which all happens in like 20 seconds. I feel like it landed, they lost the center core, and they made it to parking orbit like at the same moment. We turned around to start heading to pack our stuff up and head back in, and Chris G was like running across the lawn at us, like like skipping practically to like come give us a hug in celebration. And it was just like this most giddy moment of space nerds that like we all were feeling that at the time. He was just running around the press site, hugging whoever he knew in celebration, which it was just like one of my favorite moments of like how surreal this is to be happening, that like everything worked, everything went according to plan, not everything, but most things went according to plan. And the thing happened that we've been waiting for like, you know, half a decade at this point. That was maybe my favorite moment from the trip.
Yeah, it was pretty special. I mean, a lot of the people we met there were so kind and welcoming, and really made the experience really special. Yeah. Then what?
I got a couple other things on my list here that we did.
Okay, let's hear it.
I figured two stories, and then maybe we can talk about Starman a bit.
Okay.
Because I don't think I'm going to get into that on Miko, and I don't think you're going to get into it on We Martians. But I do have some thoughts on it.
Okay, I'd love to hear them. Yeah, because I'm not really touching it.
Two stories first. One, we drove by Blue Origin, and it blew your mind. I have a photo of Jake like losing his shit as we drove by this place. I'll have to upload that somewhere.
Yeah.
Look at your pod player right now, and you will see Jake losing his shit.
Oh, perfect, perfect. It was really big. Like, I'm trying to think of a building that everyone would recognize. I can't, though. I can only think of like regional buildings that people from like Niagara Falls would get. It was large. So, I mean, it's got a big, long, I'm going to say it's like 6-7 stories tall, maybe more. And then there's like the second floor on top of that. And they have two big doors on the end where the rockets would come in and out. And then, here we got pictures in the Discord. See, so you can see the right as the north facing door there. And then the top layer is actually the mission control center for Blue Origin. So they can build the rockets and launch them from the same spot. There's the picture and Flyers 1 and OT.
Yeah, a truck drove by, but Jake was like, oh man. Anyway, continue with the doors thing.
Yeah, well, that's it. There's doors. And I think it's cool. Mission Control is right on top. So they do all the thing all in one go, one place. It's also the funniest part is that they've stamped like Blue Origin, like branding on every side so that you can see it from everywhere. It's like, if you're at the visitor complex, it's like Blue Origin. If you're at the SpaceX facility, Blue Origin. If you're, you know, if you're anywhere in Cape Canaveral, you can see this giant Blue Origin symbol, which is it's a very Amazon thing to do. Jeff Bezos thing.
Absolutely.
To do. Yeah.
It is impressive, though. I mean, you drive by that and you are like, if you don't take Blue Origin so seriously when you drive by that place, I don't know what to make of you. It is like, Pat, put the little legit sign in the Discord chat, because that is so legit. Let's see that place. You see these huge doors that, you know, these giant boosters are going to be like rolling out of pretty soon. Like you were saying, launch control is up there. They even got their little VIP viewing deck there. You know, you could see like where they'll put catered sandwiches and stuff for the VIPs viewing their launch. Like, they are.
It's where Buzz Aldrin will watch from. Yeah.
Yeah. He'll be fucking talking about cyclers up there. It's, I don't know. I'm glad that we drove by it. You drive by it a few times on that Foreign Nationals bus.
But yeah, I had a few shots at it.
Yeah, I don't know if we got any other Blue Origin things other than it's
I just want to kind of underline what you said. Like, if no one's taking them seriously, they're losing it, right? And I feel like that's happening, like, except for the actual space people who are just like, you know, they drive by it every day just to get a status update and they're writing it down because, like, this is going to come like a whirlwind. And other people are not quite getting that yet, right? And, you know, you'll see, I even felt like in the press conference afterward that we had a lot of mainstream, you know, like national media there, you know, people like NBC and stuff. And they were asking questions like, is this the new space race? Like, you know, are they really going to catch up to you or whatever? And everyone, I think everyone who's like a space person in the room is like, yeah, SpaceX is trying to get as much ground as possible, as fast as possible, because it's going to come like a truck. And whew, I can't wait. It's going to be so fun.
Agree. Last story from Florida. This is my favorite one. So we were going out after.
I know where this is.
Yeah, this is. I think this was the night after the launch, right?
No, this is the night of, wasn't it?
Like we saw the launch and we were going out later to get food
that
stuff.
That night.
So we pick up a Lyft from our hotel and we hop in. Guy's asking us, oh, you're here for the launch? Yada, yada. It's so busy. I hadn't been like this since shuttle days. And Jake's in the front seat. Pat and I are in the back seat. So we can't really hear what's going on. It's kind of hard to hear what's going on up there. But I guess Jake asked him, like, oh, are you into this stuff? You know, do you follow this closely? That kind of thing. Do you remember what his general answer was to that?
He was just kind of like, he was playing kind of aloof when he was just like, yeah, you know, like I heard it was happening. I kind of pay attention here and there. He sounded like what I expect everyone who lives in the area and doesn't care about space to say, like, they know about it because it's happening.
Didn't he say I follow along, but I just drive these people around?
Yeah, I feel like it's like if you live in Philadelphia and you don't watch football, you probably know what happened, right? Like you probably heard about
it. Fair point, yeah.
That's kind of how I associated with what he's saying. He's just like, yeah, I drive a Lyft in Titusville and you know, Port Canaveral and Cocoa and stuff. So like I hear about this stuff, but that was all the impression
I got
from him.
Super downplayed it, and he acted like he could not name three rockets, right? Like whatever, it's just rockets, right? They go up, yada yada. And so whatever, we quickly realized that it would not be a fruitful conversation. So the three of us go on talking about, I don't even remember what we were discussing, some SpaceX-y things. And we're talking for like maybe 10 or 20 minutes. And all of a sudden, I don't remember why he got to this point, but he immediately asked Jake if he thinks that the new administration is going to institute some sort of COTS-like program to put cargo on the moon. And it was like, it could not have went quicker from I could give two shits about space to I know exactly the policy questions that are being asked about space today. And I have several opinions to give you about it.
Yeah, I was like, how do you know what COTS means? You just said you don't give a. I don't understand it. It was like, yeah, we were looking at each other like, what?
I looked at Pat. I was like, I don't even know what just happened. But he just went from the least interested person in space to a guy I might have on the podcast at some point to discuss space policy with, because he's that into it at this point. Now, I don't know if that's a statement on like how knowledgeable, uninterested rocket people are on the space coast, or if it's this guy was trying to bait us to talk about it to see where we were.
Maybe. Do you think, maybe I'll extend my Super Bowl analogy further. Do you think he was like, just because the Falcon Heavy launch was like the Super Bowl of rocket launches, that everyone kind of hops on the bandwagon for a little bit, and then, you know, people that don't even care at all about football are suddenly like, oh, I don't know if we should go for that first down right now. I think you should kick it or whatever.
You're like, name three players other than Carson Wentz, Nick Foles, and like Zach Ertz. Yeah. But you can't
name
them.
And then, like, a month from now, he won't know anything about space all over again. Right. Like, doesn't care.
Yeah, I'm very confused as to what happened. But if we can use that as a barometer for how people feel about space down there, I don't know if it's useful, but I just particularly loved that we were baited into talking about space policy with our driver.
Yeah. And it was a long drive. We had a bar that was far away, so we had to extend that conversation.
Worth it though.
Very worth it.
Starman.
Starman.
I've got complicated thoughts. Not that complicated, but I have morphing thoughts. Where are you at on Starman?
I like Starman.
You're pro Starman?
I'm pro Starman.
Damn.
There was a lot of hate about Starman. A
lot of hate.
But what I will say is that there were like, there was the volume of like anti-Starman-ism out there met my expectations.
The new religion.
But who was delivering it did kind of surprise me. There were some like old players that I was expecting to come like out hard and they participated. And then there were some new people that I thought would support it who did not. So it was as polarizing as I thought it would be, but I had North and South mixed up, I guess, in some cases.
So I was pretty like you were before the launch. I was like, I like Starman, whatever. It's Starman. Like pretty pro Starman, but not like I'm like whatever about it. After launch, love Starman. I love Starman. And I was not expecting that. I was like pretty ambivalent about it. Like whatever, it's a silly payload. Get people talking about stuff. But like, you know, in the end, whatever. And didn't think it was that big of a deal. But like the images of that are the most surreal and weird and yet superhuman. Not like superhuman in like a superhero way, but like so regular human can like understand what this image is in a way that I don't think anything else happens. You see a photo of like astronauts driving on around on the moon and you're like, okay, it's a dude in a huge suit driving around like an RC car on the moon, and it doesn't make a lot of sense to your head. But seeing like a street legal car in a spacesuit that looks like you just put a jacket on, like a sweet looking jacket and a bike helmet on, there's something that brings it down to like an understandable level for non-space people and space people. And the images of it are just like instantly some of the most iconic images in space history.
That was the statement for me. That what you just said right there is that this is now in the books. Like this, if you look at all of space history, there's like that picture of Buzz, you know, like the first one, everyone knows what I'm talking about. There's like the Mercury 7 at the table. There's the Saturn 5 with the flag, you know, breaking barrier.
Yeah, absolutely.
That picture. Those ones, this is now in that. Is this, and it's not a picture, it's 12 hours of video, which is, I think, is which is pretty cool. So
I don't know, it just seems like so instantly, like you know. I think one of the things that that we struggle with to communicate space things to our non-space friends or whoever is like the scale of things. You see a Falcon landing and you're like, okay, it's just like a rocket landing, whatever. But then you see the photo of like the little guy standing next to the huge landing leg, and you realize it is a building landing on a rocket engine, and that takes you to a whole nother level. And then you walk in to see a Saturn V somewhere and you realize the scale of that thing that launched, and that like really hits you hard. But when you see something that you immediately know the scale of, it is like, I don't know, it just feels so human and yet so weird that it's just stuff that it does feel like it is one of the, we always say, oh, these moments inspire people to get into space. And I really do feel like this is one of those. You know, I've seen a lot of my friends that work in tech or whatever, like a friend of mine that works at Spotify made this site, what was it, starmanforever.com.net, something like that. And it's just like this silly little site that plays David Bowie and there's Starman cruising across a starfield. And there's just things like that, that like those things weren't, nothing else inspired that little creation with like, you know, an hour of time on a Tuesday from this guy who is tangentially interested in space, but not really, doesn't think about it every week. And those are the moments that I just love that this created, because it's like this surrealist art that just inspires things out of people that, you know, you don't get with Curiosity Landing. As cool as it is, and that guy probably was watching Curiosity Land, but he didn't make a little cool website out of it because it was just didn't feel like something he could connect to in a way that launching a car, you know, it's weird to say, but it was an easier connection for people to make.
Yeah. And I've been thinking about this a lot too, because as I'm writing, you know, the We Martians episode for it, and The next morning in the hotel, front page of the Wall Street Journal, there was Falcon Heavy. The late night shows picked it up, right? Like, it's on Stephen Colbert, it's on James Corden. Like, that's a level. I had my friends and family texting me, like, you know, people in my office were sending me pictures of them watching the feed. And even as I came home on Thursday, I cleared customs in Vancouver, and you know, you walk up to the desk and the Canadian customs guy who lives in Vancouver, very far from space stuff, you know, there's not a huge space community. He's like, "What did you go down for?" I was like, "I went to see a rocket launch." He's like, "Oh, was that the Tesla? That the one that I saw the pictures? It was really cool." He was so excited that like he didn't actually ask me any of the questions he's supposed to ask me when I'm coming back from a different country. Like, I didn't claim anything. I was like, you know, he didn't ask me if I had any fruits and vegetables. I had all of this great beer that Pat got me, and I didn't have to talk about it at all. I had a bag of trail mix in my bag, so you have to check the yes on this box. It's like, they ask you this big giant questions like, "Do you have any fruits, vegetables, seeds, nuts, blah, blah, blah." Like, it's like 48 things, and I had seeds and nuts. So I had to check yes, and he didn't even care, like, just whatever. He was so excited to talk to me about the Tesla. And I was like, "Dude, I'm really tired. I don't want to talk about this right now, but it's going to get me through customs quicker, so I don't mind."
That's awesome, though.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it went everywhere, which is, it's really cool. I think it's awesome. I'm thinking about, we came back inside after the launch, and we knew there was going to be a press conference. We were kind of waiting for it to happen. You know, Elon was like an hour late to it because I think he went out to LZ 1 and 2 to take a look. And so we're all just sitting in this room, and everyone's like, you know, again, being professional, they're all writing their stories, trying to file their stories. We had no stories to file. So we were like tweeting and, you know, going through, you were working on the video, and they had those two big screens up there, and it was just streaming Starman. And there was just these weird moments where I'd look up and I was like, is this really happening right now? Like, this is what I'm doing right now. I'm like watching a electric sports car float on an elliptical orbit around the Earth. Like, it was bizarre. It was super weird.
And that, especially that photo, so-called the last photo that they got off of Starman's drive. I have a hard time believing that that was the last photo they got off. Because if that was the last photo,
it was probably like half dark. Yeah.
Yeah. Right. Like, if that was the last photo, that is like a stroke of some higher power, because it is incredible. The framing of it is amazing. Just, it's so good.
There might have been just someone at the thing, and then they were just like waiting in the last 10 minutes for it to come into frame. And he said, "Turn it off.
Shut it down." Yeah.
Shut it down. And they just killed it. Like,
but that one in particular is so, that is the image to me. It's like the dude, arm out the window, super chill, driving away from Earth. Like, that is,
yeah.
If there is an image that is SpaceX, it is that. And yeah, there you go. Someone's posting in Discord. It's so rad. It's such a photo that I feel like they could use that to explain their mission statement forever, and everyone would get it immediately. It's like, we want to drive off with Earth in the rearview mirror in this red Tesla and bail out to Mars orbit or something like that. You know, like, it's so perfect for them. And if that is not an album cover in like 6 months, I don't know what the music industry has come to anymore.
Do they still make albums?
I don't know. I don't know if albums are a thing.
I feel like maybe today they just release a song every 6 weeks.
That is not the cover of a single on iTunes, Apple Music, Spotify, whatever.
Yeah. 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 It was really cool. Very inspiring. You know, I knew
I was not prepared for that either. I was like not expecting to be moved by Starman at all.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's, in terms of the mission, it doesn't matter. It's its own mission, you know, like the Falcon Heavy just doesn't matter for that. But yeah, for SpaceX, it was super important.
You got some mailbag for us?
We have a couple emails. One's a follow up. So last month we had an email, and it was from Fred, and I didn't know if I was allowed to say his last name, but I also didn't know if it was his last name, because I thought it was made up. And he replied and confirmed that it was made up. So now I can say it, that Fred Fredson is not a real person.
Yeah, Fred Fredson. So, if that was a real person, we would have lost it.
I would have lost it. So Fred Fredson, whatever your real name is, Thank you for confirming it, because I really wanted to tell that joke.
I botched one. Lars emailed us to tell us that I totally UC Bouldered my statement on, I said lunar soil. And that's not a thing. It's regolith. I knew that. Jake knew it.
I did know
I think he said something in the email, like, he said, while Jake certainly knows better and Anthony probably just misspoke, it is worth pointing out that there's no such thing as lunar soil. And I said, correct on both accounts.
Yeah. Yeah. Lars said it straight. And it was very clear that he was catching up on podcasts, because a few weeks later, we got another email from him. This is a nicer email, though. He told us, I don't have it up. Do you have it up? I didn't bring it up.
I do have it up. It was a long one.
Yeah, it was just from this morning or yesterday, I think.
Today at 3:25 a.m. in the One True Time Zone, or Eastern Standard, or whatever we're in. Standard.
That is the One True Time Zone, yes.
Mm-hmm. He liked our Design Your Own Planetary Mission. We'll have to do more of that kind of stuff, like a more creative side, rather than just discussing whatever happened. He also very much enjoyed the Year of Our Lord Steve Squires as a time scale for when planetary missions will happen. I think we'll keep that going. And he really, I think he would just really like to see some life detection happening.
Mm-hmm.
Wants to send one to Mars, like wants to send one to fly through some geysers on Enceladus, send some drills through, where was he saying he wants to drill?
He wants to drill Mars, yeah.
Oh, just Mars. He's just going to start going.
I think he's going to be excited about ExoMars, because that's basically exactly what it's going to do. It's going to drill really deep and see what weird bugs come out of it. So, yeah. Cool. Yeah, we can do more stuff like that. That was fun.
I think that was it. Oh, we got one from David, too, about how sweet the Cosmosphere, or Cosmodrome, as you were calling it, in Kansas is.
The Cosmodrome, yeah.
I think he works for the Kansas Tourism Board, because it was an extensive email about Kansas.
Yeah, he offered to send brochures, and he could recommend some places to stay. I would love to go to the Cosmosphere.
We should do like a rando off-nominal meetup in Kansas. Gotta be cheap to fly to, right?
It's really easy to like knock on flyover states or whatever, but like I would 100% love to go to the Cosmosphere.
I would so do an off-nominal meetup in the Cosmosphere.
There can't be much else to do in Hutchinson, Kansas.
You said salt mines. His other one was there's some big salt mines. Yeah. You want me to read this section from the tourism board?
Yeah, I want to know about the salt mines.
You can explore 600 feet underground in the old part of an active salt mine. So
that actually sounds really, really cool.
It does. I think we'd be really into it.
There's a really big mine in just north of Vancouver, which is really cool. And it was actually even appeared in an episode of The X-Files, because they film it here. But it's a big downer, because they charge like $48 or something like as admission. Like it's so expensive. And, you know, you're like, how is that? Like, it was literally as much as it was to go see Atlantis at the Kennedy Space Center. And I'm like, you just go in like this hole for like 20 minutes and they tell you how awful it was to work there. And then you get out. But the mine itself is cool. The admission and the tour were not so good, but the mine itself is really cool. So I would totally go see a salt mine.
We're getting some suggestions for Off-Nomicon.
Off-Nomicon.
It's a great thing that George and Kurt have teamed up on to create.
Attendance might be low at first.
Yeah, I think it's about this. I'm okay with that. You got any picks?
Oh, God.
Picks for the week?
Can I admit something to you?
Yeah.
I did not pick a pick.
That's okay. That's all right. I figured it was a bit of a crazy week.
It's a little busy around here.
I've got one pick that I did think of earlier today. I was thinking, what should I pick this week? There is an unlisted YouTube video that SpaceX posted that is just 40 minutes of the raw feed from Hawthorne for Falcon Heavy. It's like that shot of Mission Control and then the glass aquarium windows looking into the overworked people of SpaceX. And I love this video specifically because Gwen Shotwell is sitting in the front row. She's got her headset on. I am a massive Gwen Shotwell fan. Like, if there was anyone in space that I am just like the biggest fan of, Gwen Shotwell. I think she's like,
you have a crush on her, like I have a crush on Lori Garver.
I think that's accurate. Yeah, because I think like SpaceX doesn't work if not for her. And I think Elon gets all the headlines and stuff, but she's just like, you know, tinkering away behind the scenes and often
she's making the sausage
in front of the curtain when she, like, I think she should do every public appearance for SpaceX ever, because Elon Musk just is, it's excruciating to listen to. And Jake, if you ever meet Jake in real life, ask him to do his Elon Musk in a press conference impression, because he does a really good Elon overthinking everything impression. But Gwen Shotwell is just the best. And she's in the front row of this video, and you just watch her react to all of the events of Falcon Heavy launch. And it's like, I don't know, it just really brings it home in a way that the other videos don't really do it justice, because they just, you know, they cut to like the footage of the floor at SpaceX where everyone's just losing their mind because the thing worked. But you can see
all the white guys.
Yeah, well, that's true. But you see Gwen Shotwell reacting to this launch and like realizing how big of a moment it is, and just totally like melting down over like the fact that they did it. They did the thing. It worked. Everything went well. And I just love this video. So I'll put a link in the show notes, time coded to the beginning of the launch, because it is worth a watch.
Awesome.
So
if I think of a pick in the next 20 seconds, I'll tell it to you, but I don't think I have one.
Okay. That's a tight window of time.
It's a tight window of time.
But yeah.
Yeah.
Amazing cool. week. Okay.
Really good week. You know, and I pooped on SpaceX and NASA a little bit about the whole foreign national thing, but I do also want to say that it was really cool that they did give press credentials to people like you and me. I thought that was a really great thing for them to do. The opportunity for me to just go to like the best place and watch the launch ever is I can't thank everyone there enough for that opportunity. I thought it was super cool to meet you and, you know, Brendan and all the other space reporters who were very welcoming. And I also thought it was really awesome to meet Pat, who was, you know, a longtime listener for both of us and a very good supporter. He gave me this beer. So thank you, Pat, for the beer. I thought it was the best trip ever. It was awesome.
We also met Manuel. Manuel, I don't know how to pronounce his name correctly.
Yes,
but
you're right.
He's an awesome photographer. We met him at the press site. I'll also put his link in the show notes because he's got some really amazing shots of the launch. But yeah, that was pretty great. And I don't know if like, so when Jake and I were just hanging around the press site and telling people who don't know us about like what we do, there was some disbelief that it was literally just us. And that like, there was like a single person operation that is standing in that same spot. I don't know if that was like, were surprised by that, or they were bummed that we were there because we're just a single person. I don't know where on that, you know, spectrum they were. But it was really cool to have some independent media represented there. And I was particularly proud that we were hanging around back of the room on the floor, as it may have been if you saw our Periscope session. I was, it was a nice moment.
Yeah, so. It was pretty cool. Yeah, I feel more connected to the community now, which is good. So A++ would do again.
Would do again.
Yeah.
Goodbye.
Would fly to Florida. Would fly to Florida again.
Would move my flight 9 times to make sure I make it to Falcon Heavy.
See, and that is where I bested you, because I booked one flight down and one flight back and never changed it.
Okay. That's it. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. End of test.